Let's turn over to Book of Matthew here this morning, Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Last couple of songs we sang there reminded me of something I had up here. An old farmer went to the city one weekend and attended a big city church. Came home, his wife asked how it was. Well, said the farmer, it was good. They did something different, though. They sang praise choruses instead of hymns. Praise choruses, says the wife. What are those? Oh, well, they're okay, I guess. They're sort of like hymns, only different. Well, what's the difference? Farmer said, well, it's like this. If I were to say to you, Martha, the cows are in the corn, well, that would be a hymn. If, on the other hand, I were to say to you, Martha, 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 oh, Martha, 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 the cows, the big cows, the brown cows, the black cows, the white cows, the black and white cows, the cows, cows, cows are in the corn, or in the corn, or in the corn, or in the corn, the corn, the corn, the corn. And then if I were to repeat that about three or four times, that'd be a praise course. There's a part two to that. I'll read that tonight. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and we'll start reading verse 13. And of course, the disciples come, and there's some things going on. But verse 15, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the village and villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give you them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but five loaves and two fishes. He said, bring them thither to me. And as you now know, this is the passage where 5,000 are fed and 12 baskets full are taken up after everybody's done. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we pray to you to help us to learn a simple lesson here from a simple passage. And Lord, we continue to be aware of all the news that comes to us each day, the things that fall upon our ears. And it's inevitable, Lord, that some of those things will affect our hearts in some way. As we said this morning in Sunday school, it's absolutely critical. It's indispensable that we have the right attitude, which comes from the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures regarding some things. And this is very simple admonition here this morning. We pray you might help us get some things through our heads and that we might be fully resolved to continue to do what we're doing, do the right thing the right way, continue to preach the gospel and read the Bible. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the actual text this morning is verse 15. We could go through some other things in the passage with regard to the bread broken and the fishes broken and the baskets taken up and all those things. But notably, verse 15, when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place. The time is now past. Send the multitude away. They say, you know, they've been here all day. You've healed their sick. You've done a lot of stuff here. Well, it's the time has passed, and they need to go away now. Well, there's a certain trait in man that many times comes to the fore, and it especially is noteworthy when it comes to dealing with some of God's stuff. But man kind of tends to start writing the eulogy too early. He begins to put carvings on the gravestone way too quick. One of the stories that I like is there was of course, Nietzsche was a famous a philosopher. And one day over in Europe somewhere, there was found graffiti on the wall, and it said, God is dead, signed Nietzsche. A few years later, Nietzsche dies, and the same and graffiti was found on another part of the wall, Nietzsche is dead, signed God. See, Nietzsche was a little quick on the trigger for that, and I'll tell you that's how man is, though. I'll guarantee you that with every passing month, every passing year, there are certain scientists, certain psychologists, certain folks in learned spots, certain leaders and administrators and so on and so forth, that become more and more gleeful as the years go by, because the more years go by that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't return, that all the things in the Bible that they keep looking for, and how we dumb people who believe in these fireside legends and all that kind of stuff, you know, for each year that we distance ourselves from what the Bible said happened in the past, and the further we go, the more gleeful they become that the things in the Bible that God said did happen, the things in the Bible that God said will happen, it just gets better and better for them, because of course they don't want them to happen at all. And as the time goes by, what was it, the lady that went down in the Challenger disaster? You know, that there's a lot of things going on, but somebody looks up and says, we don't see God anywhere, right? Well, I just I wanted to talk to you about that for a bit, because there's also an attribute that God has that somewhat counters that. And what God tends to do, you will notice in the Bible, is that He tends to wait until man seems past his limits. It just seems like it can't happen now, but that's how long God waits. I mean, after all, the Lord led the children of Israel out into the wilderness, out of Egypt, and led them to a place where they were entangled in the land and trapped up against the Red Sea, and they look around and they said, it's over. We're dead men, right? The Lord Jesus Christ could have come and healed Lazarus. But instead of going and healing Lazarus, He waited until Lazarus had been 4 days in the grave before going tombside. And when He said, roll away the stone, Martha steps up and says, no, 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 didn't you miss that day in biology? Lord, He stinks now. It's too late for you to do anything now. Well, I just want you to know that that's how God tends to do things. And by the way, if you think that this is distant from man's heart, it's not. That is the stuff of 1,000 movies. That's the stuff of thousands of novels where, you know, it seems past hope, and somehow or another, you know, the hero manages to save the day, right? He's down to his last knuckle on the last strand of the last knot of the rope, and somehow he manages to pull victory out. I just want you to know, folks, that is a biblical theme, and for the most part, that's how the Lord deals with man. But you know what? Here these disciples say, oh, Lord, the time has passed. The fat lady has sung. It is over. It's too late to do anything. Please send these people away. And Christ, in the meantime, says, you guys, cool your heels. We can figure this out. And wound up taking more bread and scraps after they had eaten than he had to start with. Right? The disciples said, the time is now past. In Luke chapter 8, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to heal a centurion's daughter. Bad news comes. Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master any further. The Lord Jesus Christ is stuck right there. I'll take care of it. Goes on home. The minstrels are already playing. The professional mourners are already there. He said, why make you this ado and weep? And they said, because she's dead. He said, she's not dead. She's sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn. You know what they say? Says, it's too late for you, you crackpot healer. It's too late. The time is now past. Go away and get a job. Right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are tossed into the burning fiery furnace. And it's too late for them, isn't it? Only it wasn't. Daniel was tossed into a den of hungry lions. It's too late for Daniel now, isn't it? No, it's really, really not. Here is Elijah, and he's sent to this this woman, this poor woman, to, and she's going to provide victuals for him, you know, a provision for him throughout the drought. And he walks up to her fence, and he says, ma'am, make me something to eat. She says, make you something to eat. I got 2 sticks and a half a cup of meal. Me and my kid are going to eat it, and we're going to die. You're too late if you expect for me to make provision for you. Only it wasn't too late, was it? How many times in the Bible do you read something like that? The Lord Jesus Christ rises from the dead, is walking along the road to Emmaus. Walks upon 2 disciples who are busy talking. He said, "What's going on?" They say, "What's going on?" He said, "Listen, this guy, Jesus Christ, came. We thought he was the Messiah. And you know, surely we trusted that it had been he which would have redeemed Israel. But they killed him, and he's been dead 3 days. And it's too late now." Only it wasn't too late now. The disciple said, "The time is now past." Now, folks, I have something very simple for you here this morning. It's not a big expository message or anything. But, I realize, all you have to do is listen to the news. All you have to do is listen to folks who talk about their portfolios a little bit. And it'd be real easy to slip into some over-pessimism and some despair in the day and age that we live in right now. You know, I know that some people think, how much worse can the storyline get? Well, actually, the storyline can get a lot worse. But the fact of the matter is, it's one of those days where you know, people can get easily over-pessimistic, get a little bit discouraged about things. And I want you to understand, the world doesn't understand us at all. You see, we are real negative about anything that has to do with man. We do not believe that man has the answers. We do not believe that government has the answers. We, just in general, when it comes to man's doings, man's technology is okay, it's neat, but it doesn't solve anything, right? People still die of flu, people still die of colds and everything else. Man still doesn't have the answers. Now, on the other hand, we happen to be the most positive people in the world when it has something to do with God, with God's promises, with God's Son. I mean, there is not a more optimistic person in the world than me when it comes to Bible prophecy coming to pass. When it comes to thinking about heaven, when it comes to thinking about God's solutions to men's problems, we're very positive people. The problem is we're the exact polar opposites of the world, and we never really seem to meet in the middle. So they say we're negative. But the issue just is what we happen to be talking about at the moment. Right? I want to preach to you a message this morning about the time is now past. That's what folks say. But I want you to know that the time really isn't past for some things. And I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you think we're going. I don't know if you feel like that you're at the end of your rope. And, you know, you don't know how much more worse news things can get. You know, more bad news. You know, can we take any more? And what's going to happen if we go back to the 19 teens and all those kind of things? Folks, there's some things that you need to understand. The time is not past. All right? First of all, I would like to say the time is not past for repentance and salvation. Now, I think you probably knew I was going to say something about this, but I'll just go ahead and say it anyway. All right? Now, I just want you to know that I'm as apt as ever, and I'll be the first in line to complain about how hard men are these days. Right? And men are hard these days, are they not? They are hard. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things, and the pleasures of this life have entered in and choked the word in America. So sometimes it almost seems like men and women in America are almost unaffected by the truth of God. The Bible says that there will come a day that men will be without natural affection. You've seen that day come to pass. When it comes to the hardness of men, and you're going to yell at me about the hardness of men, you're preaching to the choir, because I know that men are hard. We started and built a church starting 22 years ago in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and men are hard. Brother Caribou's trying to get a church started in St. Cloud, and brother, men are hard. They really are. Bible says in yet another place that men will be lovers of their own selves. That is certainly the case, is it not? I mean, these days, Jesus Christ is on people's lips. But when you talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, just about all that it means to most people anymore is that an Easter egg hunt is likely to break out. Right? Now listen, folks, I want you to know something. The time is not past. No matter what you think, no matter what you say, I don't care how hard men get, the time is not past for salvation and repentance. Nowhere do I read that the Holy Spirit has departed and quit dealing with men. Nowhere have I read that the blood of Jesus Christ is no longer effectual and that Jesus Christ no longer calls men. It's not true. Nowhere have I read that any sinners have been refused access into the grace of God by faith in Jesus Christ. The time is not past for repentance and salvation. I still believe the Holy Spirit goes conscience to conscience, heart to heart, that He still reproves the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. I still believe that He pricks the hearts of the cruelest of men, just like Paul. I believe that He still leads men that search, just like He did the Ethiopian eunuch. I believe that He still whispers to honorable good men, like Cornelius, who are seeking the truth. I believe that He labors over unbelieving men, like Festus and Agrippa, and any number of people that Paul dealt with. I believe that Jesus Christ is still able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by Him. There are many of you here this morning that are testimonies to that. Listen, folks, these disciples says, the time has passed, send them away. The fat lady sung, it's over. It's not over. It's not over till the trumpet blows. It's not over no matter what you think and no matter how despairing you get. The time is not past for somebody to get saved. The time is not past for men as a whole to repent. Jesus Christ still advocates for sinners. He is still the mediator between God and men. He is Jesus Christ. He is still, will one day be, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Jesus Christ has not left the throne. There is nothing that's wrong. God is still willing, not willing, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord Jesus Christ still leads men by the goodness of God unto repentance. Heaven still awaits and celebrates every sinner that gets saved. Right? Listen, folks, the time is not past. The time is not past for repentance and salvation. The time is not past for conviction. You stop and consider. I mean, we've talked several times about some folks that are dealing with their spouses and with their children and with their brothers and sisters and families in our church. And what the common complaint is every time I even now open my mouth about the Lord Jesus Christ or church or something, my family is down my throat and they're mad at me for the rest of the day, if not the week or the month. Okay, I'll tell you what, you can take encouragement in that end. That just proves that the time is not past for conviction. Because normal men don't act like that about other things. Right? I mean, truly, folks, the time is not past for conviction. The time is not past for preaching. People say, preaching. You know, people don't listen to preaching anymore. People, you know, they got iPods and, you know, they cell phones and they don't listen to oratory anymore. They're visual. They're visually oriented now. And preaching just doesn't work. You couldn't tell that's the truth. All you have to do is go stand out on Nicollet Mall and start preaching. You'll get a response. You know, the truth of the matter is, while I understand that you don't get the response to preaching and witnessing for Jesus Christ like you would desire, the fact is the power hasn't gone down any. In fact, it upsets people more today maybe than any other day before. So whatever is the case, the way people respond has changed, but the power of the gospel hasn't changed. The time is not past for repentance and salvation. The time is not past for praying for sinners. The time is not past for laboring to try to get somebody saved. You say, it just takes so much work. I mean, John Wesley used to be able to go and put a sign out and preach to 70,000 people that afternoon in a thunderstorm. I understand there are some things that have changed, but there are some things that haven't changed. And one of the things that hasn't changed is that you still need to go and labor for somebody to get saved. This is not Amway. We don't have sales goals. We don't say that we have to sell so much out of this particular little Amway branch in order to make our quota. This is not a quota thing. This is you doing what the Lord Jesus Christ called you to do. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth, and the time is not past for somebody to get saved, to repent and get right, until the trumpet blows and God says, its time is up. The time is not past for repentance and salvation. I'll tell you something else in brief. The time is not past for power and victory over sin. It is not. Now, I talked about salvation for a second. Now I'll talk to Christians for just a little while. I know how people have grown to view some things. I know that we, as Bible believers and so on, are well aware of Laodicea and the lukewarmness and all those things. And a lot of times we excuse ourselves in those things because, after all, we live in Laodicea. And you know what? I understand those things are true, but I want you to know that the time is not past for you to get victory and power over your sins. Right? The problem these days is that, first of all, folks are redefining what sin is. Right? More and more, and I believe that more and more, the church is tending to go that way. You know, folks, know, the answer, the problem is no longer sin. Now the problem is disease. It's addiction. It's a disorder. It's a syndrome. It's a this. It's a that. It's another. And one time there was this lady, she came to church and she couldn't sit in church because, you know, she put her kid in the nursery and she was kind of psychologically oriented, and so putting the kid in the nursery, well, I can't leave her in the nursery because she has separation anxiety. And as a psychologist, she had diagnosed her child as having separation anxiety. Folks, I grew up on a farm. We handled 100 milk cows and 500 beef cattle, and every baby calf around, if you separate it from its mama, bawls like a baby. It's not a disease. It's not a disorder. It's not a syndrome. It's just the way things are. I'm not saying that a separation disorder is a sin, but let's call things what they are. And the fact of the matter is, folks, that we've come to a day and age where people's problem, and no, somebody's not a drunk anymore, he's alcohol addicted. Okay? And, you know, nobody can even be a ball anymore. They have to be follically challenged. Look, just call it what it is. And if it's sin, it's sin. If somebody's fat, they're fat. If they're skinny, they're skinny. And if it's sin, it's sin. It always has been sin. It always will be sin. And I've got news for you. The time is not past for victory and power over sin. Now, folks, the world's way of dealing with what we know is sin is first of all to deny that's what it is. And then their idea is to blame it on something else. And then they throw a bottle of pills at it. Okay? I'm going to tell you that half the problems around have nothing to do with anything but sin. Christianity has gone a long way toward adopting the world's approach to things. But I got news for you, folks. The time is not past. Adultery is still sin, no matter what you call it. Having a dirty mind is still wrong. Lying is wrong. Stealing is wrong. Slothfulness is wrong. And any other number of things that you can name, they are still sin, no matter what you choose to call it. Those things still enslave. There is still power to be delivered from those things. But you need to call it what it is. The time is not past for repentance and salvation. And folks, for a Christian, the time is not past for victory over sin, for power over sin. You know, people say, well, you know, what you're talking about is really old-fashioned. And again, this is a peculiar thing in our day. I tell you, the Bible says, for instance, that the common people heard Jesus Christ gladly. Common people, everyday folk. Let me tell you something about everyday folk. Everyday folk tend to be intimidated by people who are ultra-educated and so on and so forth. I mean, and what I mean by that is people are intimidated by the idea that there's all this technology and there's all this science and there's all this new stuff and everything. And then, you know, if you're not careful, you wind up thinking that the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the power of God, that what we commerce in here, the knowledge of God and the power of God through the grace of Jesus Christ, if you're not careful, the world will intimidate you into feeling that you have some sort of a stone wheel or something you're dealing with. I mean, the world has all this technology and they have all these answers and there are all these big words, and after all, he has two doctorates and he has three doctorates and he spent his entire lifetime researching this thing. And then you Christians pop up and say what somebody really needs to do is pray, fast, get right with God, kick himself in the backside and go on. And the truth of the matter is that there's just an awful lot of time that you get feeling like you've been given a stone axe to deal with. I want you to know that there is nothing more advanced nor powerful than the grace of God and the promises of God. All right? I want you to know that what you have has never been replaced by anything better. It never has. The results are irrefutable. You know, there was a isolated place. I've forgotten the exact place now. I've lost the exact details, and you know, through the years with the history and all. But they said that when the missionary arrived on the island, that there were no Christians. But when he left, there were no heathen. I believe it was in the New Hebrides, unless I'm mistaken, that Charles Darwin walked onto the island and saw the inhabitants of that island, and he said, you know, surely these savages, these are the missing link between man and ape. Those folks were so savage and so brutish that Charles Darwin said, these people are the missing link between, you know, a man and beast. John Patton, as a missionary with the Bible, went to that place and labored for 20 years. And guess what? The next time somebody comes by, the people look a lot different, and they're no longer a missing link. They're now regenerated, converted Christians. You say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? The point is that the time has not passed for power and victory over sin. The time has not passed for you to put down your cigarettes. The time is not past for you to quit being a drunk. The time is not past for you to... You say, just because society is dirty does not mean that you should have a dirty mind. Just because everybody that you work with has a dirty mouth doesn't give you the excuse to have a dirty mouth. The time is not past for power and victory over sin. There's something else I'd like you to take note of. The time is not past for a full Christian life. Now, I'm taking all this from just one verse. This is just a burden here this week a little bit because, you know, what do we hear? All day long, if you listen to the news, it's one thing after another. And we have enough of the truth that, you know, we recognize some things that are happening. I tell you what, folks, as a Christian, there's something you have to be careful of. And what you have to be careful of is that, you know, we can be pretty negative and pretty critical about things, and we see things happening. And oh boy, here comes the train. If you're not careful, you stop there. Yeah, here comes the train. But if you're not careful, you forget about the promises. You forget about what the train brings with it. And you need to remember that through every age of Christianity, Christians have been through things, and in going through things, they have come out in the end with the victory. You can't forget that. You can't forget that. The time is not past for salvation and repentance. The time is not past for power and victory over sin. The time is not past for a full Christian life. Okay? Now I read, and you know, you read, most of you have read John Wesley. Most of you have read about John Hyde. Is it Hyde? John Hyde. Praying Hyde. Whichever Hyde it was that was the praying Hyde. You've read stuff about George Mueller. You've probably read stuff about Finney. And, you know, you read those things and you see in your own lives, you know, certain failures and so on. And you begin to, you look around and you see that things don't seem to happen in your life the way it happened in John Wesley's biography. Like I said, you know, John Wesley used to go and post a note on a gatepost, you know, outside of town. And 6 hours later, there's 50,000 people out there to listen to him preach the gospel. And you know what? I got news for you. It ain't going to happen here. You know, Billy Graham has an entire team of marketing analysts and spends millions of dollars to get 50,000 people in a football stadium. Okay? Okay, it's not going to happen for me. All right? And you say, well, see, you know, it's just not the same. Well, I'll grant you, it's just not the same. You know, the folks in John Wesley's day, they didn't have TVs. And they didn't have iPods, they didn't have computers. Didn't have the internet, but they didn't have cars either. And they didn't have cities like we have it. And you're not going to get modern Americans out in the middle of a field in a snowstorm to listen to a sermon. You're not. But you know what? Just be careful. Because, you know, at the same time, I got a letter the other day. Now, I'm not much published, if you've noticed, on the internet or anything else. But somebody had gone to our website from out west and had read, you know, something that I wrote and wrote back to say, you encouraged me and I didn't do something stupid that I was going to do. Well, you know what? John Wesley never got a note like that by email. You say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? That's not very encouraging. Well, here's the point. You know, we have a tendency to think wrong sometimes. You know, we think that every time we read you read a little book this thick on John Wesley. Well, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that they're going to hit the high points, right? You try to write a book about a guy's 80 years, it's not going to tell you, you know, his toiletry habits in detail. It's going to hit the high points. Well, I got news for you. John Wesley preached until he was over 80 years old. Well, I'll tell you what. If you serve Jesus Christ for 50 years and labor for him, you'll have something to put in a book. You will. You know, Charles Haddon Spurgeon started preaching, and I think even pastoring, at 18 or 19 years old. Well, I tell you what, if you sell out to serve God when you're 17 years old, by the time you're 50, you'll have some tales to tell. I'll guarantee you. If you preach for 50 years, you'll have a book to write. George Mueller prayed in millions of dollars for orphans. Well, folks, I haven't prayed in millions of dollars, but a bunch of y'all helped pray, and we wound up with a church. Right? See, there are just some things that you kind of forget. Did you? Mark Christofferson has been on a field in China for 17 or 18 years now. Mark Christofferson has seen more conversions in China in those 18 years than some missionaries that went to the Oriental nations in a lifetime saw. Okay? See, it's not an Amway convention. You can't just always compare results. You say, nothing's happening. It is too happening. Maybe you're just sleeping and missing it. You know, Lonnie Hazard raised his entire support almost entirely within a year's period of time. That's almost unheard of. But this is still late to see you. Nothing's really going on. Oh, the youth are terrible. I mean, they're all in jail and they've killed people and they're perverts and everything. And it wasn't like that back in the 1800s. It wasn't. But now they're locked up and you get to go in and lead them to Jesus Christ 4 and 5 at a time a week. Right? Okay, that didn't happen in the 1800s. See, things aren't good, but things are different. And you know what you have to make do with? You have to make do with the lot God's given you. It's just that simple. You still have the opportunity to make a Christian marriage work. You know what? It's not past time for? You can still raise kids clean. You can still raise kids, and those kids come out as well balanced adults, even if they are homeschooled. So what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, the point is the time is not past. for a full Christian life. The time is not past. The same grace that upheld the martyrs is available for you. The same joy that filled Fanny Crosby's breast is there for you. The peace that Jesus Christ gave the martyrs is there for you. The same God that answered prayers for Abraham answers prayers for you. And we can go on down the line here and all those things, but the time is not past for a full Christian life. So I'm just going to go sit on a hill in a sheet and wait on the rapture. Well, wait on the rapture, but leave the sheet at home and don't go sit on a hill. There's too many things to do. You say, but it's just not like it was back in, you know, the great missionary era. Well, things change. Things change. But it doesn't mean that it's over. It only means that you're challenged in different ways. Listen, I just recall that passage in Matthew chapter 20. And don't you recall about the Lord coming into the vineyard and going in at the first hour and hiring all these guys to come in, and they worked all day. They worked 12 hours. And He kept going back and hiring folks for shorter periods. He finally came back in the 11th hour and said, there's one more hour of work. I need some more laborers. You guys come and I'll give you what's right. By the time the thing is all over with, folks, those folks that worked for 1 hour were paid the same penny as those guys that worked for 12 hours. Now look, I don't know if it's going to come out exactly like that at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't expect to get the same reward that Paul got or that John Wesley got for that matter either. But I am certain that whatever is right, the Lord will give me. And I am also certain that the things that we're trying to do are worthwhile. I mean, if nothing else, ladies and gentlemen, there's just not a lot of it going on anymore. There's just not a lot of street preaching going on anymore. There's just not a lot of Bible believers going door to door, knocking doors. It's all JWs and Mormons. Okay, you need that. We are doing what the Lord gave us to do. The time is not past for you to do those things. The time is not past for the full Christian life. The time is not past for answered prayers. The time is not past for you to have victory. I want to say lastly, the time is not past for the rapture. I just add that because as every day that goes by, there are people that are peeling off our position because things get worse and worse. And as time goes, there have been so many predictions about the rapture and so on that folks have now begun to adopt a mid-tribulation theory or a post-tribulation theory and all those things. I got news for you. It doesn't work. It doesn't work in the Bible. I'll tell you what, it's not too late. It's not too late for the rapture. Okay? The rapture is still going to come before the great tribulation. You're still due to get out of here any minute. And I'll tell you what you better do. You better be right when it comes. There's nobody that's had more warning about this than you folks. Okay? You've been warned, you've been admonished, every missionary, every evangelist, you know, work, 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 be right with God, pray, read. There's nobody here, there's nobody around that's been better warned and better forearmed than you. So if it happens at 12:15 today, you need to be ready. And you should be ready. The time is not past for the rapture. Where is the promise of His coming? There are Christians walking around right now white-faced and doubtful because of the events in the world. I thought we'd be out of here by now. You thought wrong. You just did. Man, I just read those passages and you'll... Almost 2,000 years ago, Paul was saying that the rapture was coming. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Well, just think how much closer you are to it now. Yeah, it was 1,900 and some odd years ago. So what? You're 1,900 and some odd years closer. And it could be today. It could be in the next minute. It could be in the next hour. It very well may have been. I remember what Jesus Christ said to those disciples on the road to Emmaus. What did He say? O fools and slow of heart to believe all that's written in the prophets. I heard a preacher preach one time, and he was preaching in this little country place in Georgia or North Carolina or something. And he had had a couple of evenings of meetings there, and the preacher had been going out town. The pastor had been going out and picking up this little 10-year-old boy, 10 or 11-year-old boy, out in the middle of nowhere, and bringing him to church because he wanted to come to revival. His mom and dad were not saved. His brothers and sisters weren't saved. Just a little boy. And finally, the visiting preacher asked. He said, "Do I understand you're going to get this kid, you know, somewhere in some place? That's kind of between, you know, where I am, where the church is and where I'm staying. Why don't you just let me swing up and get him for church tonight?" And the preacher says, "Okay, that's fine. That'll be just fine." And told the little boy, you know, the night before that, you know, preacher's going to come by and get you instead of me and so on. He says, "Well, I'll be waiting." Well, that night before leaving the hotel to go to the meeting, it was pouring. It was raining cats and dogs. It was a gully washer. And when he started following the directions to the kid's house, he found himself down the middle of a slick clay road. The clouds were black. The wind was roaring. He said, "Boy, I tell you what, I don't know if I want to go further down this road or not." He said, "Surely this kid is would understand if I didn't go." And he said he stopped a couple of times. And at one point, he would have turned around if he could have found a place to turn around. As it was, he couldn't find a place to turn around. So he kept going, and he kept debating this issue in his mind. And he got further and further back in the boondocks. And finally, you know, by the time he gets to a certain point, he says, "Well, I'm already this far. I can't turn around now." So sure enough, in a little while, it's already dark, and they're already late for church. And he pulls up into this kid's yard, and the wind's still blowing. It's still black. He said, "This kid is going to be asleep. The house looked dark and everything." When his headlights swung across the front porch, there's that kid sitting on the top step with a rain slicker over his head. He said, when the lights flashed across his face, the kid's face just lit up with this big grin, you know. Came in and get in the car, and he said, "Preacher," "I knew you'd come for me." He said, "You know," he said, "I sat there and I thought of the promises that we have of Jesus Christ coming to get us and how quick we are to doubt. And here's this kid sitting there in the middle of a tornado knowing that I would be there." Now, folks, God is faithful. And the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful. And if He were not coming back for you, He said He would have told you. That's what He said. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming back again to receive you unto myself. And He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. So He's coming back. The time is not past for the rapture. The next great event is the rapture. The next great event is not Obama getting kicked out of office. The next great event is not the Twins getting to the World Series. The next great event is the rapture. And it is the very next great event. There is nothing that has to happen between now and the rapture. Prophetically, I'm talking about, now if we were talking about things, go back 100 years, and I got news for you. In my view, there was still something that needed to happen. In my view, from the Bible, Israel still needed to be restored as they were in 1948 before we were ready for the rapture of the church to happen. That was in 48. Don't look now, but that was a while back. All right? I'm telling you folks that nothing, as far as I can see, nothing has to happen between now and the rapture. There is not another event that has to take place between now and the rapture. It's the next great event. Be ready for it. Don't get thinking the time has passed and maybe the Bible really isn't true. And so when Jesus Christ comes back, He does not find faith on earth. Because of all people, you folks should be prepared and forewarned of that. The time is not past. The time is not past for the best part of the spiritual life. the time is not past. The American way is not Christianity. Okay? If the American way goes down the tubes and we wind up a third-class nation in the next 5 years, that doesn't affect Christianity at all. Okay? The time is not past. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I pray you give us courage here this morning, and pray in general for the body of Christ. You'd build them. Don't allow the relatively minor things of this life to discourage and distract. If there is somebody here this morning that has never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray you'd help them to see their need. Maybe somebody has battled in some ways to get a victory over some sin and so on. And Father, the fact of the matter is that in the Christian life, there are a lot of those battles that are fought. And where there is war and where there is battle, there is sometimes a lost fight. That doesn't mean we can't get back up and go on. Lord, I pray that you would deal with us here this day. We don't expect a nationwide revival to sweep the country. We don't expect to build a massive church of 10,000 people. Father, we have the expectation that you would help us and strengthen us to do the right thing, and that you would reward us as we labor, and we hope that when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, you may find the sort of work, the quality of work that you want. Father, we just ask that you'll bless these next few minutes as we continue in prayer. Let's remain with our heads bowed and our eyes closed here for a second. We're just going to remain seated where we are. Maybe the Lord dealt with you this morning about something. I'm not going to drag this out real long. First of all, if you've never been saved, you need to be saved. If you have never been saved, let me urge you to come and let somebody in private show you out of the Bible how to be born again. Okay? It's that simple. I'm not trying to trick you. I'm not trying to manipulate you. I'm trying to make you into something you're not. Just give us a chance to answer your questions and show you how you can get your sins forgiven. If you've never been saved, why don't you come? Now, if you've battled certain sins as a Christian and you've been licked by that thing so often that you've all but given up the fight, let me tell you something. It is not time to quit fighting. I don't know what battle it is that you've given up, but the quit is not now. Maybe you need to apologize to the Lord for waving a white flag too early. You do not need to put anything on a gravestone. Not yet, because nobody's dead. The time is not past. Anybody else need to come? Let's stand to our feet. We'll pray and be dismissed in prayer. Let me remind you about signing up for camp if you haven't done that yet, and about the cleanup day next Saturday. If you miss Wednesday night and need some more information, you can give me a call. We'll have some things more sorted out by Wednesday. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. Father, now I pray you'd encourage your people. We get discouraging news all the time. I pray that you'd fortify us and help us to remember the promises. We're glad that we have a God, not an idol. We're glad that our Savior lives and is not just merely hung on a cross somewhere in some room of our house. Thankful for the real and true promises. I'm glad to have been quickened by the Holy Spirit. And we pray that you will help us, Father, to go forth as what we are, soldiers of the cross. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. See you back at 6 tonight, folks. Hope you'll come.